I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Hey, hello, and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. And friends, we have some news for you today. Our good friend George Martin has been at work in his winter garden.
Yeah, as this is crazy. So we've been covering, like, anytime, hey, we get like a big update from, you know, George R. R. Martin on Winds of Winter. And man, this one's like crazy. He just keeps the biggest thing is that he's been talking about it more than he's talked about it in the past like 10 years, to be honest, about Winds of Winter, which is surprising in its own way, right? And so he did this, he gave us this huge update here. So we're just going to go ahead and take a dive in here. So here we go. So a winter garden. So he talks quite a bit about the type of writing he is, and we've heard him talk before about, hey, I'm a gardener, so I begin to sort of start writing, and the next thing you know, it goes in this direction and it goes in this direction, and then I have to go back and trim and do all of these things. So another question that I get a lot, especially since the end of Game of Thrones, is whether A Song of Ice and Fire will end the same way. An architect would be able to give a short, concise, simple answer to that, but I am much more of a gardener. My stories grow and evolve and change as I write them. I generally know where I'm going. Sure, the final destinations, the big set pieces, they have been in my head for years, for decades, in the case of A Song of Ice and Fire. You know, there's a lot of devils in the details, and sometimes the ground changes under my feet as the words pour forth. Continuing on here, he goes on to talk a little bit more about some stuff like that, but I kind of want to just dive back into, which brings me to the Winds of Winter. Most of you know that I do not like to give details on winds. I am working on it. I have been working on it, and I will continue to work on it. Yes, I work on other things as well. I have nothing to, I love nothing more than to surprise my readers with twists and turns that they did not see coming. And I risk losing those moments if I go into too much detail, you know, spoilers. Even saying that I'm working on a Tyrion chapter, as I did last week, gives away the fact that Tyrion isn't dead. Reading sample chapters at conventions and posting them online, which I did for years, gives away even more. I actually quite enjoyed doing that until the day came I realized I had read or posted the first couple hundred pages of Winds. You know, if I had kept on with the readings, half the book might be out by now. So that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because that, if he says, if I had kept on with the readings of chapters, half the book would be out right now, which immediately says he's at least more than halfway done. Good. Like, that's
really good.
There he sort of confirms, I would say, a little bit, I am more than halfway done, which we have assumed for the recently, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give you any kind of detailed report on the book, but I will say this. I have been at work in my winter garden. Things are growing, changing, as does happen with us gardeners. Things twist, change, new ideas come to me. Old ideas prove unworkable. I write, I rewrite, I restructure, I rip everything apart and rewrite again. I go through doors that lead nowhere and doors that open marvels. Sounds mad, I know, but it's how I write. You know, always has been, always will be. What I've noticed more and more late, however, is my gardening is taking me much further and further away from the television series. Which is, first of all, that is interesting too. and we're gonna have to come back and like hyperanalyze
it. Yeah.
Because there's so much. Some of the things you saw on HBO in Game of Thrones, you will see in The Winds of Winter. but much of the rest will be quite different. And really, when you think about it, this was inevitable. These novels are much bigger and much more complex than the series. Certain things that happen on HBO will not happen in the books, and vice versa. I have viewpoint characters in the books never seen in the show, like Victorian, Ariane, Arya Hota, John Connington, Dampere. They will all have chapters, and the things they do or say will impact the story and these major characters who were on the show. I have legions of secondary characters, not POV, but nonetheless, you know, important to the plot, who figure into the story, like Lady Stoneheart, Young Griff, you know, a lot of these characters who we know. Mm-hmm. Some of the characters you saw in the show are quite different than they were in the novels. Yara is not Asha, and HBO's Euron is way, 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 way different from mine. Quaithe still has a part to play, as does Rickon Stark and poor Jane Poole. You know, the list is long. And there will be new characters. No new viewpoints, though. I promise you that, which is interesting, right? But all these journeys and battles and schemings to come, inevitably our major players will be encountering new people in lands far and near. One thing I can say in general terms that I will not be spoiling anything. You know, not all the characters who survived until the end of Game of Thrones will survive and to the end of Song of Ice and Fire. And not all characters who died on Game of Thrones will die in A Song of Ice and Fire. Some will, sure, of course, maybe most, but definitely not all. So that means that's something else we're going to come back to here is
someone died in the show
that will not die in the books.
Oh, God.
And perhaps more, because he says characters. So plural. You know, the ending, you have to wait till I get there. No doubt that once I'm done, there'll be huge debate about which version is better. Some people will like my book, you know, vice versa, like the show better. And it's fine. You pay your money. You make your choice. I do fear that a certain portion of the fans are so angry about how long it's taken that they are prepared to unread it, which saddens me, but there's nothing I can do but write the best book I can. You know, then he says, thank you all. Now I got to get back to the garden. Tyrion is waiting for me. So initial takeaway says,
blown away because as you said, there's so many different things. There's several points in there about how he writes, which years ago he said this, and he's a man of like attention to detail. And his words matter, even in interviews and the things that he says, they matter. He's kind of giving you little tidbits like inside of this very article. He said there are doors to nowhere. Right. And there are other doors that are leading him somewhere that he didn't think were there before. Right. So he's changing as this gardener. He is allowing this to grow. He's watering it. He's in that interview. There's actually a link to a YouTube interview there where he goes on to kind of talk about, he knows that he planted an oak tree here, you know, an apple tree here or whatever, but they grow and they might, you know, things happen to those trees. Some of them bear fruit, some don't. And he moves on. It is such a monumental thing. The biggest thing for me was we're more than halfway through the book and I wouldn't be surprised if he is like full on got the 3/4 of it flat out done and good. And he's just trying to finish up the last little bit. And it wouldn't, I mean, that's not, I don't know how long that would take, but I mean, I'm hopeful for even like a next year announcement, at least at the minute. I think next year he's going to announce like it's done at some point. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Again, yeah, we've been talking as he's been updating recently. One, we think he's a lot closer, and two, this, so to me, first and foremost, we're going to have to go through this like, you know, a big piece by piece here because there's just so much to unpack. And I think that's really the only way to do it. So I would say the first kind of big takeaway. However, my gardening is taking me further and further away from the television series. Yes. Some of the things you saw on Game of Thrones will be in the Winds of Winter, you know, but much of the rest will be quite different. So there is kind of interesting, right? Mm-hmm. He's saying my gardening has been taking me further away from the television series.
Yes.
Not like, oh, hey, I was like, I knew this was going to happen. It's almost as if it feels like he's saying, I'm surprised it's actually taking me further away from the TV series, which means that the TV series is influencing and will influence Winds of Winter, which we sort of said is potentially something that could happen, and now it feels like he's saying it is. Which is that good or is that bad?
Well, see, that's an interesting thing. You know, we always go back to this idea, and I'm gonna mention this one time very quickly and then we'll move on from it, but like Dan and Dave, when they were trying to say, hey, what's the story going to be like, well, it doesn't, he said as of this update it's changing, even on him, the writer, it's changing. Whether you think it's changing because of the show, backlash from it or whatever that might be. He said in the interview, he doesn't know. He knows that's an oak tree and it will be. And he has certain points that he knows we're driving towards or whatever. But along the way, things change and he's willing and open to change. He's not an architect, right? He's not laying out all these different plot points and driving to one thing. As it grows, if he likes the character more, cool. He's going to stick with that character, starting to kind of feel right. I feel like as a gardener, too, he's grown. All these different vines are growing, these different plots, secondary characters, etc. And some of them might grow into really awesome things that he's like, you know what? I'm actually going to go over there and cultivate that more, and I want more of that. So that right there tells you that regardless of whether the show happened or not, he's telling you that's who he has been this entire time. Not just for Winds of Winter, he has wrote this story this way. So once he gets to the end of a book, he's like, all right, that's it, we're done, moving on. Like, that's it. He can't go back and really, really touch that. He can do stuff in the other books to kind of maybe correct or whatever, right the ship if he needs to for something. But for the most part, though, he has always been someone who evolves. His writing evolves over time. And that's pretty awesome. Now you throw in the factor that the show is out there. There's a lot of backlash about how they ended it. And he's saying flat out, they didn't... Actually, even what he gave them already with Euron, he said they totally, it's very, 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 very different. And by the way, I'm changing things. And this is just how it goes. I think it's almost impossible, Matt, right, to separate the idea that, like, we'll never really know how much the show is influencing him versus just how much he would have changed this over the course of the pandemic or over time, regardless of the show. Would the story have been different if the show wouldn't have passed him by? It's too mixed. It's too muddled now. We'll never really know that, but it's cool. It's a really cool development.
Yeah. I guess I'm good with that too, because hey, I mean, it just has, you had your plan in mind, right? But even if the show didn't happen, he would still be doing this process of writing and evolving,
yeah,
and saying yes or no. But now, like, why would you go down the same route if nobody liked it? So, oh, yeah. Like, in one sense, you've basically gotten free fan. Well, not free. I mean, you actually got paid an enormous amount of money for it. Feedback to say this isn't either we didn't either like this story or we didn't like the way this story was presented. So
right.
We as fans don't want the ending we got, which you and I have talked about, you know, even the Game of Thrones, even the ending to the show, I think if you flipped it around because a lot of people, we've all talked about how could you have improved just season 8? Mm-hmm. So you still get to a lot of the same points. But how would you flip that around? And I think a lot of people are like, we want the Night King needs to be the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. For so sure. even if you just flip the ending we got and you had the Night King be the end and John could still stab Danny or whatever, but it just like, we want the Night King to be the end of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That would have made the end of the show that much better, let alone stuff with like Young Griff and Lady Stoneheart and all these other characters who he has. Mm-hmm. In his mind. So there's no reason to not take that feedback already and just improve it, let alone if he's going to continue to go into another direction, which is what it sounds like he's even doing, because he says, you know, he's talked about it before is like, my ending will be different, but here he's saying my ending is kind of even changing.
Yeah, it's actually moving away from the ending that he might have even had in mind when he talked to Dan and Dave. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Some parts of that might be changing. And one particular one that you just mentioned is the idea that you would flip maybe having the Night King stuff or the others at the very end of the last book or Winds of Winter,
whatever it needs to be.
Yeah, whenever he does that, maybe in his mind, he did say to them, hey, I'm actually going to have that happen first, and then there's going to be this... You know, kind of what we call like the
whole ending,
the Shire aftermath and stuff like that. We talked with Jimmy about that. You know, that being a thing he might want to do to allude to something in Tolkien, but he could change that and make that far less significant versus like a battle at King's Landing where Danny goes crazy. I don't know that that's going to happen, but yeah, I think that's important to look at that. Could he switch those two things?
Yeah. Hey, shout out here. Thanks, Wex. Wex is a secret target. He says, And we're live on YouTube for everyone listening on the podcast. My first thought when I read that blog was, what does Bend the Knee have to say? You two have become my go-to podcast for A Song of Ice and Fire news. Love the pod. Love the content. Well, thank you so much. Let's go, Wex.
Thanks, man. It's cool. It's cool.
Gets some of the comments here and we'll dive back in. Uncle Dave Zilla says, good call. I like the thought of Rickon being the heir to Winterfell under a regent, because Rickon is a character who George said that he will be different. I think he's responding to this comment by Blake. I think that Rickon will make it through the books. I know a lot of people disagree. I could also see the Hound making it to the end. We'll get into that part because once we get back there. So he kind of continues on here. He says, characters that we never see in the books. So we obviously know that these characters are going to influence things. Like Victorian Greyjoy, Arianne Martell, Arya Hota, John Connington. Now, John Connington, you and I, or at least I have been preaching, I would say, for a while, that I think his story in Jorah's is going to be, I think that's the flip.
Oh, for sure.
Jorah gets grayscale, and I think it's just a cool way to have John Connington maybe reveal some information to Sam, and then you get that viewpoint of John Connington about Rhaegar and everything. And so that's one. So like all these guys are going to have characters. Now he does go on to say that he will not add any new POV characters.
Right. But that there will be new characters. Yeah. Right. So they're just not point of view, which is a whole other thing as well. Like maybe there's someone again who's been mentioned. We just haven't come across that person. We might not get their point of view, but they might come across one of our point of view characters and speak. You know, for example, I mean, we've heard a lot about Hallen Reed. We've heard a lot, which could be a very big in-game thing. But think of any character that's been referenced or mentioned, or like an heir or some secret individual who's been alluded to. And they're going to pop up and talk to our characters. That's necessary. That's going to be, as characters move into different regions, we're going to kind of see that. And that might have been one of the things too, as he's unraveling things, maybe he needs new characters. You know, he's thinking, I got to have a character pop up here to deliver some information, some line. Where else did I have something like that growing that I could attach here? You know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's tons of small new characters you'll have to introduce, just like, you know, if even just based upon the show, right? If we have this big Danny goes and takes Dragonstone back, and then like, you know, we're on Dragonstone mining caves, like, you know, hey, here's a guy who was like, you know, who lives on Dragonstone. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of these other characters that he's going to have to introduce. I don't think we're going to get any sort of, you know, like Hallen Reed technically has been mentioned. So I don't, you could view him as a new character or not, but I don't know that there's going to be any sort of new massive characters that we really don't. No, I think they're all going to be secondary.
Sure, they could be lesser lords or ladies, or they could also just be, you know, like an innkeeper or something. Go back to the end of the crossroads. I mean, it could be, you know, just as you say, just a number of things. So the point is that he said it in his blog post, is that he said there will be new characters.
Right.
And so it's like, that's why, you know, again, for George to like put it in some, he just doesn't do stuff for no reason. So I think that's kind of a cool, really what it does is build some excitement to go, okay, wow. Like there's going to be these new, because for example, the Mad Mouse, like the Mad Mouse shows up, what's his name? Sir Shadrick or whatever. So he shows up out of nowhere and he's not like a point of view character, right. But he's a hedge knight who goes along with, Brienne, and there's theories that he works for Littlefinger. Is he working for himself? Who is he looking for? So a character like that provides a lot of intrigue. So really all you need is, again, somebody like that to come along and spice things up, or get people to, you know, help his point of view character move from one point to the next. And I think that's what he's been kind of thinking through. He talked about that Cersei knot, or that batch of chapters he needed to get through, and who knows exactly what that was that got him through that. We'll find out when we get into Winds of Winter. But yeah, I think it's really cool that he did mention we're going to have new characters and new experiences. And the other thing, you know, you mentioned Rickon. Like everyone's kind of mentioning that Rickon might be that character who died in the show, but is going to live with a regent, which I think is really cool. People were mentioning Stannis. Is Stannis one of those characters that was killed, air quote, off screen in the show, and is going to live and is going to have a whole new kind of role or whatever. I feel like that would be huge because it sounds like there's significant changes. I mean, yeah. He said months ago that he was rewriting some of the released chapters that he put out there. Maybe not like,
yes,
like hugely, but like maybe combining chapters or some revisions or whatever. And then he was going in and now he's still kind of the ending is moving. He says it's actively moving further away from the ending of the show. That right there is just monumental.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and we'll get back to all that, and we'll do a big predictions thing here in a second. But just because his thing is so big, I'm gonna go down sort of the list here. So yeah. He says Yara is. So then he talks about some characters that are different, right? So Yara is not Asha. Now, Yara, to be fair, compared to Asha, she's kind of the same character. It's just a different name. And I understand why they did that, just because you already have Osha. And so it's like Osha and Asha. That I think that could be, you know, I think that's literally the entire reason they did that one. Now, sure. Euron, though, here he's saying Euron is way, 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 way different from mine, which we sort of know.
Yeah. Yep.
But is he hinting there that Euron, like, has a huge, huge, huge part to play? Because Euron in the show, one, you know, Euron shows up, kills Balon in the show, which we don't necessarily know that was him in the books, although it's pretty obvious it was, right? And then we do Kingsmoot. So, like, there are some things that are similar, but then Euron in the show just, like, kills a dragon, bangs Cersei, and then is, like, gets killed by Jaime. Like that's literally his entire plot in the show. So, but by saying he's going to be way, 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 way different, you're saying no. Like there's a lot to him, and we sort of think Euron might end up being like end game territory.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's a lot of Bran, we know, being the first point of view chapter, he's up there doing a lot of different things. His powers and his dreams and the symbolism around him is similar in a darker way to what Euron has going on, actually. So there's a lot of parallels between those two characters, and rumor that he was around Carth, and he's been around, or he's been a thought in George's mind for quite some time. So yeah, he's pointing out to us like that's not going to be anywhere close to what the show decided. We already think that he's going to take Hightower, and he's going to get to some extra sorcery or whatever. It's wild. He's got these horns, magical horns that literally are burning people from the inside out when they blow them. You've got Mokoro there talking to his brother about what's on it and who's the true master of the horn. It seems like Victarion is being duped a little bit, actually. And Mokoro is saying that, like, no, even though you have the horn, it's somehow still tied, possibly through blood, back to Euron. So there's just like way too much going on for that character to be anywhere near close. I mean, for him, yeah, it just would be, he would have to do a complete 180 on the character in the books to like have it kind of match up with the show, which is not what he's gonna do. Yeah, I'm not saying that, but it's just like that's how far off it already is.
Yeah, so Quaithe still has a big part to play.
Holy smokes. Dude, Quaithe is like, you remember, okay, we're going into season 8, and you and I are making predictions. We're talking about, dude, is this it? Is Quaithe going to come forward in some way, and we're going to learn some bombshell drop or nothing? Not a clue. And that's also really neat. I kind of think George mentioned doors, and I think even some characters and visions and mystical powers provide doors to him that he can access later in his writing as the garden grows. Because he could bring Quaithe back and now do stuff with Quaithe that maybe he wasn't going to do before. Maybe her role was lessened and it was meant to be more riddles and mystic, and we weren't really going to go that route, but he's seeing, hey, people kind of like an uptick in the mysticism or the prophecies, and they felt let down by that a lot. And maybe I need an inch more, not to really cave to what people are wanting, because we still love the Game of Thrones, the political, the realism of it as well. It's the legends in it that you're like, okay, he's very realistic in that legends get blown out of proportion. They turn into these big things that aren't necessary, but then there's dragons. And then there really is blood magic. There really is power. And so seeing that amplified or turned up just a notch, I feel like is something that people want, and maybe was already going to happen in the books anyways, compared to what the show is giving us. So having Quaithe there is a big deal. I'm super interested to see what her role will be. That essentially says to me that she's going to appear again to Dany and say something
yes.
else. So, wow. What could that be? I mean, another riddle or an answer to something or whatever. We're already still trying to decipher the Mummer's Dragon and things like that, right? She's already given us a lot to kind of contemplate. And she seems to be more from like a Shai. We're not really sure. The whole lacquered sort of face mask and everything. We don't know who she is. It's a big mystery box that he can use going forward. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's really interesting with Quaithe because, you know, she provides all this sort of prophecy to Dany. So she still has a part to play. She doesn't have like, I don't know. To me, it seems like we're going to see her one more time. My guess is Dany sees her before she comes back.
Yeah.
I guess technically does come back to Westeros.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, think about this. People are in the chat kind of Blake's in there. Uncle Dave's also in there talking about the idea that she could be someone, she are a sea star, right? So it actually kind of fits in with what Bran is going through in Bloodraven. I mean, he's already kind of said some people have figured this out, right? Like they have figured out some of the secret identities or they're on to something. He's read stuff online where he's like, well, they got it. They picked up on the breadcrumbs. They picked up on what he was laying down and they've sort of kind of figured it out. I'm not saying that we've got that one figured out, but it parallels really nicely. You've got, again, a Targaryen, and then you've got a Stark up here doing something in, you know, north of the wall, Bran, and being with Bloodraven. And then you've got Dany, this other big character, you know? Would make sense that I guess it would be those two could somehow poetically be connected. Although George doesn't do everything, you know, he sort of right. Sets up a poetic situation just to kind of break it in front of your face, you know? So,
right.
Okay,
so some of the other characters he talks about here. So he says, you know, Quaithe has a part to play, so does Rickon. So, and we've talked about Rickon, we've done a handful of videos on him, but let's bring him back, because then he does go into the point of some characters will survive. So, and he talks about Rickon and then goes to the idea of some, not all the characters who survived until the end of Game of Thrones will survive until the end of A Song of Ice and Fire. And essentially vice versa. Not all the characters who died in Game of Thrones will die in A Song of Ice and Fire. So let's think, who are mm-hmm. characters, and Rickon might be one of them, mm-hmm. who die in Game of Thrones who will survive until the end of A Song of Ice and Fire. Not just the end of Winter.
Winter. Right, right, right.
Who are characters that died in a Game of Thrones that will survive until the end of A Song of Ice and Fire?
We've got like Rickon, you've got Jaime, right? And Cersei.
Stannis, Daenerys. Stannis.
Yeah. Dany.
The Hound, the Mountain.
Jeez.
Euron.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Just to name a few there. So
Littlefinger, Varys.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I could see you could make a case for almost any one of those individuals making it to the end and being sort of like, yeah, Jaime makes it, but Cersei doesn't, or Cersei makes it and Jaime doesn't, or whatever. Wow.
And then he says that not everyone who survived to the end of not all the characters who survived until the end of the Game of Thrones will survive. So it's kind of like you got to do this flip. So let's each pick a character, maybe a character or two that we think will live, that will make it, and a character that won't.
Okay. I'll give you a character that I think could make it. I'm going to have to do two here. Cause for me, the most interesting one is Jaime and Cersei. Like, I actually think one of the two will make it. And you would think based upon reading the story that Cersei wouldn't be the one to make it because of how almost evil she comes off, or just, I don't know, overly pragmatic, or just whatever, kind of cold. And then the prophecy, the Valonqar prophecy and all that would tell you that maybe she's not going to be the one to make it. But it's one of those things where it's all leading that direction for him just to kind of sweep it out from under our feet and say, you know, nope, she's going to make it. And you guys started to get close to Jaime. You enjoyed Jaime's character arc, his redemption arc. And then, boom, he's actually going to be one who does die, just like he does in the show. And Cersei goes on to live. That would be wild. I don't necessarily think that's just hard. That's one of the toughest calls, I think, right there, because I think one of those characters is making it and one of them is not. So that's my character, I guess, who Cersei, who is going to make it, but doesn't make it in the show.
Okay. So let me see here. So Rickon, I could see living. I don't think George has George killed a kid that young on screen or on page? I don't think he has.
Yeah, you got like the Miller's boys, but that was all, again, not something that was seen, right? It wasn't
right.
Really.
Like when the Hound chases down the kid, it's like
right,
off screen.
Butcher boy. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. No, those things typically happen. You find out there.
So dead. That's just one thing. Because like Rickon in the show is quite a bit older than Rickon is in the books.
Yeah.
Rickon's still like under five. Right. So I don't know. On one hand, we're like, oh, this is George R. Martin. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't kill a kid. He would. I mean, but I just don't know. I just don't see it. Yeah. So Rickon is somebody who I could see survive. The Hound is another one. I still love the idea potentially of Azor Ahai being somebody who we don't suspect. And if that's the case, then it could be it could be the Hound, just because of like the whole like fear of fire. And then it ends up being ironic that he has to be, you know, like Azor Ahai and the prince that was promised are like two separate things. Mm-hmm. And so I've still always just liked that idea, because I think it'd be funny, or not like funny, but like sort of, there's other irony to it, that the Hound then has to be use this flaming sword to defeat Beric Dondarrion's maybe. Well, no, Beric Dondarrion's dead in the books, but he could come back.
You know, like he lives in the show, which is ironic. It's crazy.
Well, he dies at the very end, at the end, and
right, yeah, at the very end, but, right.
Yeah, I don't see Stannis surviving until the end. I think it's more likely that Stannis ends up being the Night King than Stannis surviving. Mm-hmm. Like maybe Melisandre, the whole reason she kept seeing Stannis in the flames was because he secretly ends up becoming like the leader of the Night King, and that's why she kept thinking he was the person, and then it realizes she was totally wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Bran, I think, is safe. Arya, I think, is safe. Varys is somebody who could survive.
Yeah.
Because I felt like his death, but then a character who lives that is probably that actually dies.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm trying to.
I think Brienne could probably die and not make it, but I felt like her ending was like really like.
Oh yeah, it was yeah.
Kind of probably what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I felt like that one was pretty good. I'm trying to think of characters. Yeah, who make it? Like, you know,
Bronn. I don't see Sansa, Arya, John. I mean, Danny's a character who could live on the other side.
Yeah, obviously. For sure. Right.
It's Sam. Like a lot of those characters, I think are gonna make it. Maybe yeah. Grey Worm dies instead of Missandei.
Right. Yeah, Tyrion. You think is still safe? Right?
I think Tyrion. I don't think he can kill Tyrion.
Yeah.
I just don't think George would kill him.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm just, you know, as he's changing, I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, all the characters that make it that were kind of like,
that's even more, that is almost more interesting, is like there are characters that make it that aren't gonna make it, because it's like everyone feels like, other than like Bronn, it's hard for me to really kind of imagine a character who doesn't, you know, make it. I think it's easier to look at the characters who are dead. Like Jorah could make it. If Danny doesn't die, then Jorah could live. I can see that.
Yeah. A small flip could be like, you know, Grey Worm lives, right? But then he might die actually. And then Missandei dies, but could live, sort of.
Right.
I don't know. Because she's also super young and whatever and is very talented, and you could use her for as an advisor and stuff like that.
Does Lady of Stoneheart survive the whole thing?
I don't know. That is just that is wild. I don't know. See, that's one of the biggest wild cards out there. I feel like she's going to do something with whatever bit of power or fire life is still in her. It's going to go to someone. People have talked about her raising Jon Snow. People have talked about her. A lot of stuff.
Mira Reed could die trying to get Bran back. Could see that.
Oh, God, that would be so sad. That would be sad.
Yeah, Brienne might. You know, Jimmy, every holiday season, I find myself with a dilemma. At my wife's extended family Christmas, we do a white elephant gift, and I never know what to get.
Well, Matt, spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling.
Yeah, they scour the globe for original handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their website. Things like chocolate from around the world, handcrafted cribbage boards, wine glasses, bourbon sets, just about anything you want to find that would be a unique or uncommon gift they have in their selection.
And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts that you can personalize.
And from holiday host to hostess gift to the coolest finds for kids, to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selections you can find just anywhere.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee. That's uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Bran might die to an act of heroism like Dunk at Summer Hall. I can see that.
An interesting one that, like, so the Tyrells, we know, like, they're just sort of, what do more of them, you know, make it? Or because, again, this is, they're just kind of wrapped up into this little bow in the show, right? And they all just are most of them, right, are killed. So to have, because they're kind of split up right now, we're not really sure exactly in the book how her brother's going to get back there and stuff. So the Tyrells are interesting to kind of think about.
Yeah, it's just, it's so bizarre to, for me. Yeah, just the, who makes it that isn't, like, Bran, maybe. Maybe Bran ends up being the Night King, kind of a, you know, Blood Raven, all tied in there, and then he has to die.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Someone,
Robin, who, I guess some of the characters who weren't big in the books, mm-hmm. or who weren't really big in the show, but are bigger in the books, like Brendan Tully, Robert Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Howland Reed technically survives. Right. Yara / could be Asha. She technically survives.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Here's
does
one.
Does Theon live?
I was gonna say Theon dies, but does he maybe live?
I don't know. His ending is so sick.
So good. Redemption arc, baby. Sick. Yeah, yeah. Man, that's a tough one. We'll have to do like a big episode where we just kind of put them in a box, you know, like make a list or whatever, and start dragging people over to like this person died, but we think they could live or whatever, because that's what we did before season 8. We did a who's gonna live, who's gonna die, right? Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. Tormund could die.
See, the crazy thing now is if he is being influenced by this stuff, there's a freaking Jon Snow show coming. How is that not influence his writing? Because now he's at least, he's already said my ending is going to be changed based upon like the show, yeah. Like, because I'm still writing it and I'm realizing how different it is. He's also realizing how different it is when he sees that there's a potential for a future beyond it, because Kit Harington's, hey, let's do this show.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't see any way that Tormund doesn't make it, because I don't see how you can do the Jon Snow show without him.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's an interesting point, you know, is that they've come to him, and I go back to this with Kit Harington saying, hey, maybe I heard something from Dan and Dave that George said to them that could have been a part of my arc, but we didn't use or we didn't do. And he's going back to George saying, let's do this. They sit down together. They pencil it out. George is actively working in the Snow show. But like, how does that affect his writing? Is he thinking more now about Jon Snow and maybe even beyond his ending? Right. He's already with the Snow show. He is clearly thinking beyond the endpoints that he gave to Dan and Dave. And so even though those endpoints maybe are going to be very different from his book, I feel like his mind now with the Snow sequel show is like flashing forward beyond his work, which again would cause him to think, you know, beyond the end game of his series, The Song of Ice and Fire, which is wild.
Right. Yeah, I mean, let's just run through some characters who live.
Okay. Yeah.
And just see any way we think
whether they could.
See, I now whether he had, let's we'll start at the top. John. Okay. I see no way that he kills John now.
No.
Like, I could see an argument for killing him before the idea of even a Jon Snow sequel.
Right.
Because, okay, like, it makes sense. John dies in some sort of final battle. Like, right. that's an easy way out. But now he's already saying that, hey, I'm being influenced by the end of the show. And there's just no, now he has a potential to write another book.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I there's no way that I would see him killing Jon Snow anymore. As you said, you could have made that case before or whatever, but
right.
there's really no way now. So,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah. Okay. I'll just keep running through the list. Sansa. Yeah. I don't see any way Sansa dies.
No. Because she's someone who has seen, well, you know, it's like as soon as a character starts to kind of make a turn towards, like, we see this, like, a redemption arc for Jaime, or we see Arya learning cool stuff, Sansa's coming around, it's sort of like, yeah, we get so close to them, because Arya, we're going to come to probably next or whatever, is, like, his wife's favorite character, like, very, very safe.
No way.
No way. So Sansa, equally, I feel like, is close. Arya, I feel like, is more safe than Sansa, but, yeah, there's definitely more going on there. And he indicated in his post that Jane Poole still has, like, a role to play in terms of maybe something bad or good. Who knows what's going to happen with that. But she kind of fills in for that spot that Sansa filled in or was in the show. I think she makes it still.
Yeah, because again, I think it's far easier to look at all of the characters who died and say, like, well, they could live. Okay, I can literally see an argument for every single one of those characters.
Right.
I think it's harder the other way around to say which characters died, other than, like, Danny. Like, Danny's the obvious sort of, okay, Danny ends up living. That one's like, easy. And then Jorah, sort of by association, that's an easy change.
Yeah, yeah. I think a tough one. You just mentioned Sansa, so just to hang on that for a second, if Sansa were to die, if you were going to do that, you do have another sister. You do have Arya, who's reluctant to sort of be a queen in the North or whatever, but if that's what they needed, if Bran really took another role, or Rickon needed a regent, and, you know, it seems more fitting that Sansa would be that, you know, just like it was in the show, that seemed to work really well. I enjoyed that ending, but I guess if you had to, it would be one of those things to have sort of those two coming together, Arya and Sansa, and working together to defeat Baelish if they do that, or whatever, maybe work with their mother. But in some way, she.
Do you think, what about Sam?
No way. There's no way. I don't think so. Cause I think he is your knowledge or your information source. Like, he is someone who, like you said, with John Connington being close to Marwyn the Mage, the Sphinx, and so on, being near Euron, he ties a lot of things now in that region to the North, and you need sort of this, I mean, kind of transfer of information and stuff like that. He feels like the perfect person to do that, unless right at the very end he's just killed, which would just infuriate me, you know what I mean? Because I love him, and it's so funny because he'll go down in legend as Sam the Slayer. And we all knew up close and personal that he was kind of not really living up to that name. But over the, you know, 10,000 years from now, Sam the Slayer is legendary.
Okay, here's one for you. Here's a character who dies in the show, but has not died in the books. Alistair Thorne.
Oh, my. Yeah. No.
Because remember, we've done a full breakdown on him, but in the show, he is there, and he is part of the mutiny that you know, kills John,
right,
for the watch. In the books, he's gone while all that happens.
Yeah, and I think, as much as he doesn't like John and he doesn't whatever, he is very much still you do things the right way, even if it is just supporting, you know, Slint when Slint's there or whatever, doesn't matter. He's still doing things sort of technically by the rules, by the book. He has some honor, and he was sent away intentionally so he couldn't be roped in with all this sort of stuff. Some people suggest that he was still plotting with Clytus and the pink letter and all that kind of stuff. But I truly think he's out of it. And I think he'll come back and be pissed. I actually think it's him who will come back and hang a lot of them and bring justice back to, you know, the Night's Watch a little bit. So I feel like he could live. Because again, there's that Targaryen loyalty that he has, and so as more Targaryens start to emerge, I feel like you've got this guy who was sent to the watch for what? He's Sir Alistair Thorne, right? And it was just because he was on the wrong side of the war. Robert's Rebellion.
What about Melisandre? She dies in the show. I kind of feel like she's going to die in the books just because, like, mm-hmm. I don't really know why you keep her around afterwards, but.
Yeah, unless, I mean, that could be one of those things, though, that he is changing. You know what I mean? Maybe he maybe he changes that and she just mysteriously disappears. Because with her, when you have a character like that who is older or who can use magic and who can prolong their life, and she wears the sort of the ruby or whatever, it's sort of like a Yoda character who can help you tie other things together. So if he wanted to do something beyond A Song of Ice and Fire, and he's talking to Jon Snow about this whole thing. I mean, not that he's going to try to write his book to line up with what would be happening in a show versus Jon Snow show. But I mean, it's a character that has a lot of information and is on this arc where she's getting a lot of things wrong, misinterpreting stuff. And seemingly what they did in season 8 was have sort of this little redemption arc, because Davos is like, she should be killed for the stuff that she's done. And she does sort of come back and help them face the night, which is full of terrors. So, but I think having her live, actually, you could make a case that she might live on and go back to Ashai or something. So,
yeah.
I saw in the chat here. Oh my God. Someone was saying, how about Ser Barristan? So, because Ser Barristan in the show is
killed.
And I think people are suggesting it seems like in the books
he's about to be killed in Winds of Winter.
Yeah, it seems like he's going on this charge where he's sort of training these young lads, and they're about to sort of have their big battle there at Meereen. I keep saying I hope he lives. I really think it would be cool for him to kind of live on, because he definitely still has information that every conversation he has with Dany, we sort of pick through, because he knows about Rhaegar. He knows the secrets of Rhaegar. He understood maybe some of what was going on at the tourney at Harrenhal. So characters like that have information, when they die, it's gone. It goes with them. You know what I mean? Like Eddard Stark, gone. I mean, we don't get to talk to him anymore about all the secrets and the Promise Me Ned stuff or anything, which is wild. So has he given us everything that he can? Does he leave a letter? I really hope not. But he's next level. I just absolutely love that character. So I'd love to see him come back to Westeros at least.
Ramsay. technically, and Roose Bolton. They're both still alive, but technically they both do die in the show. I don't see them surviving. I don't see them surviving the books, but technically they do.
That's true. They
because you have to look now. You have to look at characters who obviously have only died in a Game of Thrones, but have not died thus far in A Song of Ice and Fire. Right. There's a lot of characters obviously that have died in both.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, these characters are still alive in the books, and it seems like they're going to be rooted out. I guess I could see them going back and sort of being dealt with later or whatever, but I don't know. There's this whole mystical element around Roose and immortality and these little things, I think, which people have said are just for fun, that just really something that George is playing with and just sort of messing with people with. But who knows? Maybe there is more to that. Maybe it's been bleached blood magic.
Hodor.
Oh God, no! That seems.
See, I think Hodor has to die.
Yeah,
same way.
Yeah, and because George said, epic. Yeah, that was one when he DT said, that's a moment I gave them. That is happening. That probably is. Already in that first maybe halfway through, I don't know, three-fourths of the way through the book, who knows, you know.
Mance Rayder is technically dead in the show, but he has not died yet in the books.
Yeah, that's because he's been, you know, the King Beyond the Wall has been around for so long in George's mind.
He's like, he's introduced like chapter one,
right? So I've always thought that any character who was introduced early on in the book series has potential to be there till end game. I mean, And just could play a big role. And so the longer we see him in this role or in this capacity, I feel like, yeah, he might kind of hang around, because there's the whole pink letter thing. There's him sort of with the spear wives, and seemingly they got out of there. So,
yeah. What about Marcella and Tommen?
And Tommen. Yeah, I think those were things also that George put out. You know, I feel like he told them, like, hey, those characters are going to die.
Those characters are going to die.
But, you know, like with Tommen being so young, we've said that it's not a suicide.
If Rickon survives, then maybe Tommen does too.
Right. So Tommen could survive for sure. And then he could be this sort of, maybe he's an exile or people try to figure out what to do with him. He's an innocent, really. And his mother put him up to all this. And so he's not someone who would be executed or banished or whatever, but they'll just take him in, or you know, who knows? I mean, at the end of Robert's rebellion, he wanted all the Targaryens killed, even the children and stuff like that, which, you know, he's wanting to kill Dany's babe. I mean, at the end, he says it's a bad thing to do. So you do have those people who might come in, and if they took power, would say, no, we're going to kill him. But we do kind of believe that the poisoning will happen to Tommen. You know, we saw Myrcella poisoned in the show. We think Tommen will be poisoned. It seems like an easier way to kind of have him die, I guess, versus just like him killing himself, which is a suicide. That might go to Myrcella, unfortunately, more so. So, yeah.
Oh, got a lot of comments here. Just put them on the screen. One major Song of Ice and Fire change from the HBO adaptation is that Sir Gerald Dane will be finally revealed as King Viserys III, and he will challenge False Aegon, being young Griff, right, to a duel, and that to prove his authentication. Yeah, and these are obviously all characters that still have to appear. And you know, the other thing is, well, as
yeah.
Like, what's to say a lot of these changes that, like, we've talked about, what's the Jon Snow show even going to be? And one of the big things we talked about is, like, young Griff. What if this also isn't still, as George has said, hey, I'm still adapting my book, and it's, like, being influenced. The idea that Snow might not necessarily be a Game of Thrones season 9, like, I'm not saying it's going to be, like, every single cast member is going to be in there.
Right.
But there's nothing to say that it won't include a lot of like the stuff that George has now written, because Kit Harington went to George and said, hey, here's my idea.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly. So it's like he's sitting there again, as I say, like when George, it's fascinating to just put yourself in his room when he lays out on his bulletin board there, here are the things I'm driving towards. Those things we now know from this post have changed, but they were there. Something that he said in his ideas, he has a whole segment in this post where he talks about, where do I get my ideas from, right? Influences, real world stuff. But sometimes he just doesn't know. Ideas come to him in his garden. So he probably had one, gave it to Dan and Dave. They didn't use it. Kit Harington heard about it, came back and said, hey, remember that idea? What do you think about this? I've also got an idea as well. Shares it with George. And then they're moving forward with the show. And George says, I like that. I mean, he seemed excited about that in his post. And so it's like, now, all right, we're driving towards this Jon Snow sequel show, and he could be, that show could very well contain stuff that happens in not Winds of Winter, but that last book or that other arc or whatever, or an idea that he abandoned, that he maybe had to abandon and said, hey, I'm not going to do that. Cause he likes to talk about how his book series will be different than the show. And he's okay with that. He's okay with people, you know, debating and kind of going back and forth on it. It is what it is. It's the nature of it. His series wasn't done when they finished season 8. So, I mean, you had to kind of,
and think about how much he's also probably written in between. Cause we know he's written a lot in between, like them gearing up for season 8, which was like, they were writing it. Cause remember season 8 had like had a long in between. So you're like writing season 8, like 2017 to 2018. And then you remember one of the scenes was like 50 days. The episode 3, it took like 50 days to even film.
Right.
So really you're talking about 2017 of when, here's what George is telling them. There's like, you know, whatever, work with the ending of it.
Right.
To now 2022. That's 5 years.
I know. Exactly. And things have been changing. Things have been moving around. So it does feel like, you know, that things. Right. Okay.
And now we live in a world in which we're getting something that takes place post.
Yeah.
In theory, A Song of Ice and Fire. There's no way that isn't influencing him.
Yes.
Even more.
Yeah, for sure. Because again, he's having all of these creative kind of talks with writers about the histories and the sequels, you know.
Yeah. And real quick, I'm not saying like, oh, it's influencing him for the worse. I think it's influencing him for the better. Because I'm down. Like, is what I'm saying. Now, this is awesome. Like,
take it in his own words. If you're a gardener and you're gardening, right? And someone comes into your garden and says, hey, here's a cool idea. And you love gardening and you want to make the best, you know, whatever, grow the best fruit. He's going to do that. I mean, like, he's not stupid. Yeah, that's the thing. He actually says, and our friend Jimmy on his channel, Fantasy Network, go check it out, has said numerous times that he's influenced by other writers. He has borrowed things. They have borrowed things from him. These writers do this or whatever. And it's just that's normal. That's an okay thing to do. So something caught his attention and he is changing and altering stuff and moving forward in a direction that it seems to be speeding along Winds of Winter, actually. So
yeah, let me go back. I want to pull that thing up where they talked about Gerald Dane Darkstar. See, there are characters, and this is one of the things we talked about the Jon Snow show, and like the idea of potentially, hey, young Griff, you could come over and do that arc. You know, and the other thing is too, is like right now we're like, okay, the only thing we know we're getting post Game of Thrones is like this Jon Snow thing. But if you look at, I would say, the formula, which I would for any of this type of stuff, which is like Disney, I mean, okay, when they told, and to be fair, they had the sequel movies, whatever. But when they told us, hey, we're going to do this show called The Mandalorian, we watched and we're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Sick. You watch season one. See, okay, awesome. Like, freaking loved it. There's a lot. There's a ton of places you could go, but never did we think you'd be bringing in like Luke Skywalker and like Ahsoka and all of these other like characters that are like have been around and in tons of the things. So like, there's nothing to say that this Jon Snow show doesn't get come out and is like crazy successful. And then they say, okay, George is like, okay, now we're going to do the young Griff story. Like Danny has been killed.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring over this Blackfyre guy who's now I'm the new king. I'm the real last Targaryen. And then you go with that and you have multiple other shows.
Yeah.
That like, and then he has all of that post stuff to do. Like, you know, now he can write and it doesn't feel like because even right now he could have it in his mind like, oh, now I actually have an out to do three more books, not just two, which as we've said, I don't know how he's going to finish the thing in two books. Before we even knew about the Jon Snow show, we were saying, I don't know how he's going to do it in two books. There's just too much. Yeah. Now there's an easy out. Say, actually, I'm going to do three books.
Right.
And the third one's going to be sort of my version of like the Jon story. And it's like, okay, easy. Now maybe now that's why he's writing so much more, because now he's like, he doesn't feel I have to cut everything. No, you don't have to cut everything yet. You still got a little more. Now you've got a little more space.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a really good point, because he could now, as you say, he's already said that the ending is going to be different. It's actually driving away from the ending we already have. So book and show verse are now completely different. So if you want to bring back in material that he has been using that we've already seen in the book that was never used in the show, and you want to do that, it's really not going to change a whole lot. I mean, it's already so drastically different that bringing in a character like, people would say, well, we're way past that point. There's no way you can kind of do that. Or maybe in the book, he dies before this Jon Snow thing. It doesn't matter. They're alternative universes now. You have the show verse and you've got the book verse. And you're exactly right, man. I think he could easily pull from that and say, guys, because he loves film, he loves TV, and I think he loves the idea of writing that and coming up with something that's different and entertaining for fans. Take a piece, take a plot line that fans really like, and let's run with that. And bring him the Golden Company coming back, and even though they kind of might have to be a different company or whatever, but still.
Yeah, and a comment here too from Tony, who's been commenting all day. So thank you for that. Saying, I think it's a North-centric show. I do think that certainly like this first season of the Jon thing will be a North-centric show. Like, if you look at, say, Mandalorian, like the first thing was its own little story that had elements of the larger Star Wars universe pulled into it. Like, the Marvel shows are different because they took well-established characters and gave them their own story. Whereas I think like Mandalorian, I think, is probably what I actually would compare this to, even though Jon is in his own way like a thing. Where it's just like, this is like its own self-contained sort of story. Like, those things were tied to everything. But the Marvel Cinematic Universe is totally different than like Game of Thrones, where Game of Thrones, really, you have all these different characters, but like Jon is kind of like the main character throughout.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, I agree.
And then there's nothing to say that season one won't end with like something that ties into something bigger than the next thing, you know, because you already have Gwendolyn Christie's like, I'm down to come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Emilia Clarke, she can say what she wants. I mean, if they want her back and she wants to come back, they'll freaking do it. And it's going to be stellar. But also,
Emilia Clarke is too big of a star to say, like, oh, hey, like, Like she's one of those stars who's like, I'm not involved, but she's
Matt,
Andrew Garfield literally said, like, I had to lie for 3 years.
He did. He lied for years. And I'm okay with him lying
in Spider-Man.
Yeah. I want in every interview for her to say, not involved. I wish I could be, blah, blah, blah. But knowing in the back of my mind that they will pay her whatever. Because she is one of the most beloved show characters ever. Right? I mean, she is the character. And so people love her. She's just a badass queen. And we want to see her back with her dragons. That they set it up where she flew away, the whole thing. But as you say, it might be more of a end of season one of that Snow show. And I even like the idea of like his sister Sansa sending word, "Hey, Winterfell has been raided." Or Bran's like, "I need your help," you know. So those are all cool things. Yeah.
Yeah. But is it going to influence the? I think because it's just. It's too like there's if you go back and you begin, which we did, we did an episode where we broke down the whole Snow show, and you look at like the things George was saying around the time where he's saying, hey, we got all these sequels planned, these successor shows, which is interesting. The idea, because I go back to the Jon Snow thing, we just sort of took the idea of a successor show as, well, these are all prequels because there's no way they would ever go beyond.
Right.
But he specifically told us, no, it's we have successor shows.
Yes,
which does in duality sort of mean prequels and potentially anything to happen afterwards, because that is actually a successor show.
Yep.
So like he was telling us things, and then suddenly he was writing a lot more about, you know what I mean? It was kind of like hey, HBO said, hey, we're doing House of the Dragon. And then he said, there's actually a lot of shows in there. Oh, and by the way, I've suddenly been revitalized in my writing.
Yeah. Yes. For what reason?
Exactly. I feel like it was actually much more of this Jon Snow show that's really been like gotten him back to grinding it out.
Exactly. And we can go back and look. He said this has been in development as long as those other shows. And as Matt said, he said he could have said prequel shows, but he chose not to. He said successor shows. Which left it open, which is what George does. He chooses his words wisely. If he says prequels and you find out later there's a sequel, well, he was just lying to you. But he's a wordsmith enough that he can say successor shows and it could be both. And so that's exactly what happened. And I think that's, again, the brilliance of him. That's why we break down his not a blog post, because there's everything, every word in there freaking matters. I mean, at some point we'll get back to like the doors and different things. Because I want to talk at one point what crazy theories out there could be changing. You know, going into season 8, we were talking about the Crypts of Winterfell playing a big deal. We were talking about Quaithe coming back. We were talking about Cereal Pharrell and stuff that he was in. Not today, right? And all these things that could come up again that we didn't see in season 8. But I feel like all of it's back on the table now. All the crazy tinfoil stuff that we were thinking going into this now, he's moving and changing stuff around. So yeah, I feel like anything could happen, you know?
It's crazy. It's absolutely wild.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, someone was talking about this. You brought up the poet like Darkstar. You don't think a whole lot about Darkstar, but the idea there's something going on in Dorne and with the Targaryens and secret alliances and shipping people away. Elia Martell was from Dorne, right? The Prince of Dorne shows up there to kind of figure stuff out. Her brother was in the Kingsguard. So that when you put that up on the screen earlier, it's like he has a lot of doors that he created. That he was like, I'm gonna leave a way in which I could. I put wording and phrases in my story so that way I could go back to that door if I ever need to. And I feel like he's gone back to doors that he hasn't been to in years. And that has created some of this, you know, opening these things up, as well as the John conversation, seemingly has propelled him and to the point where he's like, yeah, I thought about that. That was an idea. Now let's think about it some more. And the more you do, other doors are created. So.
Yeah, wild. Awesome. All right, guys, well, hey, we will be back with so much more about this, because who knows, there's so much sort of interesting directions that this could all go. And this whole breakdown here, this is just sort of our initial read through of it, but we're gonna have to come back and sort of do a lot of like specific videos on just like who do we think lives, who do we die, who dies, and how do you get there, because there's just so much. But certainly this update from George was absolutely insane, because it just opens the door. George is sitting there holding the door saying, oh no, 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 no.
I know
the door's open. Okay. Hey,
before we click off, one more. I just want to know from Sir Matt, do you think, are you encouraged in any way by this update that we're closer to get, does this encourage you that Winds of Winter is possibly closer?
Yeah.
Okay. That because people were asking that earlier. Like, do we think it's coming out next year?
Well, now I don't believe that he's going to end it in two books, which we've been saying he shouldn't do anyway.
No, like, George.
If you have to write eight books, write eight. Because the whole deal is we've sat and looked at Winds, and we're just like, dude, there's just no way that you can end this thing. Like, even without the possibility of extending it further, like, just like take away the idea of a Jon Snow that takes place post,
right?
Like, whatever. We said there's just no way you can end this in two books. Just right as it stands right now, there's no way you can end this in two books. I mean, that's the whole reason it was supposed to be three books, and it's turned into seven. And like half of Winds of Winter is stuff he couldn't even include in A Dance of Dragons, which he had to split into two books because it was too big.
Yeah. The garden has grown out of control, and that's an amazing thing because
that's fine.
That's fine. That's how he writes. So that's
Wheel
fine.
Of Time, like Wheel of Time is 14 books, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's fine, George. You can write 10, it can be 10 books. Like, that's fine. I feel like the problem, one of the biggest problems with Wins is that he's like, I gotta lock this down to seven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he's already probably trying to figure out, how do I just bring this to a nice conclusion for this book? There's stuff I'm sure he's already, like, every book he's ever written, he has pushed stuff back to the next thing and said, I just got to push that back a little bit.
Right. I would say, even with the possibility of not including anything that could be that could have influenced him with, like, Jon Snow successor stuff, I feel like it needs to be 9 books, just as is right now. Nine books.
Yeah. Just give it space and time to breathe.
They don't have to be as big.
No,
they don't have to be, because like Winds is going to be enormous.
Right. And here's the thing, Matt. People say, I see this sometimes in the chat or a different place, like, that's going to take even longer. He's never going to finish it. No, not the case. Go back and look. There has been, again, year gaps or whatever, but there's never been anything like this because of the show, because of everything else. It won't surprise me if he has so much material that he's just really working it down to what is happening in Winds. And then from that, he's gathered so much, and he's got such a good, clear mindset that then you dive into the next book. He already had half of Winds of Winter written over a decade ago. To be quite honest, I really believe that he had half almost of it written. I mean, at least a fourth of it written after he finished A Dance. And then, you know, he was working through it or whatever. And so I feel like now we're real close to the end. We're real close to the end. And once we get it, once we have the book in our hand, he will have one fourth, if not a half, of the other book already done. It's just complicated. He said in his post, last thing he said, right? This is hard. He said, this is hard, guys. Like, all of this, writing this, bringing it all together, it's not easy. And anyone who has read the series, if you're out there, you're listening, you've read the series and you've read it numerous times, you freaking know that if you were to finish, why are there so many theories? Why are there so many things going on? Because he has written this in such a way that there are doorways upon doorways that lead to here, that could lead to there. So many different loopholes that he could use and go through. It's awesome. And everything is connected. And attention to detail is just his thing. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Absolutely. Thanks for apologizing to George R. Martin again, guys. Hey, it's what we do. Okay.
Hey, Hey, that man has provided us with some amazing content, and he doesn't need to apologize for a dang thing. Write your freaking book, George.
Hey, absolutely. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to check us out anywhere on the internet. You find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros, as anywhere on the internet at Womprat_2M. Be sure to check out. We have tons of extra content on Patreon and Apple Premium. So as always, thank you guys. And remember that Winds of Winter is coming.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.